www.jeffersondavis.us. This week, ladies and gentlemen, we have Brian F. at
brianf.us.
And we also have Dr. Don. Dr. Don doesn't have a website, but he does have a YouTube channel. What is it, Dr. Don?
Don Watkins.
Don Watkins. Yep. So if you go to YouTube, I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But if you go to YouTube and you type in Don Watkins, you'll probably find him.
Yeah, you'll probably find a lot of rat rod stuff on there.
Yeah.
Volkswagens.
Yeah, Volkswagens and car shows. He does some really interesting custom stuff, so go check him out. And maybe this weekend, if I have the time, I will come down and do a proper video. So what have you guys been up to this week?
One of the rear coil springs on my Miata is broken, so I had to get new coil springs.
I'll just take them out.
Nah.
Drag the pin.
It's already so busted up that it's running on the chalk.
Oh, God, yeah, that's
all you've been doing? Did you replace it already?
No, matter of fact, I just got them today.
Oh, okay. You see some racing ones or stock?
No, just OEM.
Oh, okay.
I could have gotten a whole lowering kit and lowered the thing an inch and a half, but I don't want to do that until it's my second car.
Yeah, there you go. I love low riders. I do, but you need two vehicles.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of hard to plan out your routes. You know, you have to plan out your routes if you got them real low like I used to drive them.
Uh-huh.
You know, the frame's like an inch off the ground, so you got a static drop. So there's no airbags or anything. So you got to plan your route.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I get up in that parking lot? Okay, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, day before.
And that Miata is pretty low already.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was more difficult to find an OEM replacement spring than it was to find a lowering kit.
Yeah.
Huh.
I could have got all four springs for just a little bit more than I paid for the two rear springs.
My friend at work had a Mazda Miata, and I rode with him one time, and one time was all it took because he only knows own and own. I mean, there's no off, there's no brake on him, and oh, boy, okay. Wide open. Boy, whew, that thing scared me.
Yeah, they're small cars.
Plus, you have to deal with a lot of snow.
Exactly. Exactly, and it's not a snowmobile, not in any way, shape, or form.
That's an Italian-designed car, ain't it?
I'll tell you what, it looks an awful lot like a mid-60s Lotus Elan.
Yeah, I was thinking they took the kind of design of an Italian sports car deal on that side.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not meant for snow.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I had a cousin who worked in a auto parts store for years, and he told me everything that MG and Triumph and Austin tried to do, Miata got right.
What size motor is that? Engine, I'm sorry.
1.8.
1.8, okay. About, what, 165 horsepower?
180.
180, okay.
Wow. Yeah,
that's impressive. Yeah.
Well, I got a whole 40 horsepower in the Volkswagen.
I think I got 65, I think it's 60. 60
Mine may 65. Be 50. Do you remember, Brian, what the 1300?
I'm thinking 52.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Yeah, the 1300s were meant to do 100 kilometers an hour.
Downhill.
Yeah, downhill with the tail.
Yeah.
No, they were meant to do 100 kilometers an hour maximum, which is about 60 miles an hour.
I think me and you talked about that, but I think mine has the stock jugs on it.
Uh-huh.
But I think the heads have been reworked, or they're not stock heads. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of the...
Is yours a dual port or single port, 1600?
Mine's dual port, 1600, yeah. And mine, I just had mine done, and they used the case and the crank, and that's all the old internals. The rest is all new.
Yep.
New heads and all that. And,
as long as you don't split the case, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, yeah. I got a bunch of parts in today. I'm about to go down there after the podcast here and install it. I got a new gas tank, all new parts for the gas tank and mm-hmm. trim, but I ain't gonna put trim on until I tear it down and repaint.
Okay.
I've been trying to talk him into just waiting on that until all the car shows are over with yeah. before he gets doing that, you know.
Well, but, okay. I told him it'll only take me a week. I mean, two to three days to prep. I mean, that's sanding everything down and then pulling the fenders and stuff off.
My one friend Jimmy's trying to talk me into doing the springs, the rear springs myself. And I just went on YouTube and looked at a video, and you got to remove both ends of the shock. You can't just pull the bottom end of the shock off and slide the spring on. Right. You got to remove the entire shock, remove the spring, put the spring back on, and put the whole shock tower back together.
Well, at least it ain't the front, so the back should be a little bit easier.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to have my mechanic do it next week.
Yeah, the springs, I think those are compressed on the shock. I think there's a point.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a little dangerous. I'm a little weary about the springs. They can kill you.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, yeah, I'd rather pay a little bit more money than have someone do that. And
yep.
That's a lot of gasket and all that stuff.
Uh-huh. Well, I just had it inspected, and it passed inspection. Yep, didn't need anything. And my mechanic told me I did a good job on the front brakes, so I was happy.
Yeah, I didn't make last week's podcast, did I? Well,
There wasn't one.
There wasn't one.
Without Dr. Don, we don't do it.
Last week was I replaced everything under my sister's BMW, the control arms and tie rods and from 12 o'clock in the afternoon till 7 o'clock at night.
Yep. BM trouble you.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't, oh my God. I don't like working on foreign cars. Newer ones, anyway. You know.
Mm-hmm.
My whole thing with BMW and Mercedes is, let's say you get one, you find, I don't know, a BMW 325i or whatever. For $1,500, like a late 90s or something.
And walk away, there's an electrical problem.
But you're gonna spend $8,000.
That's right. To keep it.
So,
that's right.
Yeah. So it's best not to.
Yeah, I had a friend at work. He said he drove a lot of BMWs. He said, "Man, I love BMWs," but he said as soon as the slightest electrical problem starts, get rid of it then.
Yep.
And then you start at the turn signals. He said, as soon as it goes wrong, he said, "It's gone." He said, "They're a nightmare."
Yep. I don't understand what people see in them personally.
Well,
they
fall in my category. Big Mama's Wagon?
No, break my windows.
Well, it falls in my category of broke man's wheels, because it would be buying parts all the time.
Exactly.
I wanted a Volkswagen Passat. I love the interiors of them. They're good-looking cars.
They're good-looking cars.
But I started looking at them, and I was willing to pay, you know, early 2000s was about $4,000, and at the time I been in that car wreck in 2013, and I had, you know, some money to spend on a car. Everyone I found needed at least $2,500 worth of work.
Yep.
Exactly, yeah.
And there's only, you know, two places in town to do it, the dealership and a classic bug place that also does modern Volkswagens, and they charge more than the dealership.
If it's what I'm thinking about, they I don't like the people in there. They're rude.
Well,
you know the old adage about Volkswagen, don't you? Volkswagen makes the best $15,000 car in the world. The only problem is it costs $25,000.
Right. They got in a lot of trouble. When was it? Last year with the diesel?
With the diesels.
Yeah.
Well, that all started in Europe. Europe is the one who actually caught them. And then the Highway Transportation Safety Administration, somebody like that,
said,
well, if you're doing that in Europe, are you doing it here in America? And Volkswagen said, no, of course not.
Cannot confirm or deny that at this time.
Yep, exactly.
And check our records.
I remember watching a guy, a video about a guy that works on Volkswagens. That's all their newer, modern Volkswagens. He's certified with them and everything. And he said that they weren't even going to make any diesels for 2016, but they were supposed to come back out with them this year because they couldn't the whole point of the hack with the ODT port and everything, or the diagnostic software,
was
because they couldn't meet admissions.
Right, exactly. So,
I don't know if they ever sorted out and started selling diesels, because I don't really follow.
They had to pay off the right people.
Yeah.
Well, there used to be a radio show on NPR called Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And they had two rules. You don't ever buy a diesel and you don't ever buy a turbo. And I'll never forget the day the lady called in. She said, I have a Mercedes turbo diesel.
I just throw fire on the flame there.
Oh, God. My only experience with a turbo was that freaking 2013 Peugeot that I drove Ireland.
Uh-huh.
You had to wind it up for about 4 seconds before you pulled out into the roundabout, because if you started out like you would in a standard, gas car, you would get run over.
Yep.
I learned that, the hard way.
That's the only thing I don't like about turbos, because it's that little bit of lag to build the pressure up. That's
exactly.
Supercharger, you got it then on the throttle right there. It's ready to go.
Exactly. What did I just see? I just saw a supercharged Triumph Thruxton.
Oh, wow.
A 1200 twin supercharged.
Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking about superchargers and turbos, they also have these prochargers. They're actually pumping out more horsepower with those prochargers than the superchargers or turbos. And they're getting better fuel response and economy with those prochargers.
Now, what's a procharger?
It's like a supercharger, except it's not sitting on top of the intake. It's almost like a turbo, but it's worked off the pulley system.
Okay.
It's not used to exhaust. It just uses the pulley, but it's a unit that's almost the same size as a turbo.
Right.
So it's a turbo without the exhaust pressure building
up
on it. So.
Okay.
But, they're pushing like read or saw on YouTube, it was like they're pushing out a little bit more, like 50-60% more power than a regular supercharger.
Mm-hmm. So, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
You ever watch that YouTube channel, Roadkill?
Oh, I love it. Love that show.
The guys from Hot Rod Magazine, Finnegan and Freiberger.
Yeah,
David Freiberger and what's the other guy's name? Mike Finnegan?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, David Freiberger and Mike Finnegan. David is the editor-in-chief of Hot Rod Magazine, but
okay.
They'll take some car that's a total piece of trash.
Yeah.
I mean, roadkill. And they'll spend $20,000 on the motor.
Yeah.
But it'll still look like a piece of trash, and they will drive it from L.A. to wherever.
Long distance.
Yeah. I mean, one time they drove to Alaska. Actually, they tried that, and the car, what happened to it?
Which one was that? Which car was that?
That was a El Camino.
Oh, it's... No.
Anyway, they drove his car from L.A., to Anchorage, Alaska.
Okay.
In the wintertime. And they had a busted out window, so they had cardboard on the side. It was hilarious.
Oh, I remember that, but I didn't get to see that one. I have to go back.
I think they had to stop halfway. They lost a freeze plug or something. I can't remember what happened.
I don't know.
I'll tell you what gets me is these TV shows. I'm trying to think, like, Counting Cars.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of them. There's a bunch of other ones where they're building these race cars or they're restoring classic cars, but they have a $5 million garage.
Right.
Yeah.
And 35 guys are working on it.
Right. And in a 30-minute show, they will show you 2 minutes of them doing stuff.
Right.
And the other 28 minutes is drama.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why the motorcycle, the dad and the son.
American Chopper.
Yeah, that one, I cannot stand it. I would not have a bike or anything built from them if that much drama's going on.
Exactly.
There's one show that's really good. He's really good. Ken did it. I can't remember his name. But he's a real good guy. I mean, he's real down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
He puts most of his money back into the business, and they're all their employees are happy. I mean, that was a nice show.
Cool.
No drama on there.
Right.
I used to watch that, did custom, all kind of custom cars, Dallas. Monkey Garage.
Okay.
But it turned into a drama fest, too, so I quit watching it.
You know, his lead mechanic quit on him.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
After that, I ain't watched it.
There's a show out of the UK that just ran for like 12 years.
Top Gear.
Well, I mean, they've been around for like 20 years.
Yeah.
There's another one. I'm trying to remember the damn name of it.
Not Mighty Car Mods, is it?
No.
Those are hilarious guys. God.
This one, they actually show you fixing stuff. And they'll take something to get real cheap, and they'll fix it up, and then they'll sell it on Wheeler Dealers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's got the little pudgy short guy. Yeah, he's the one that sells the cars and gets the parts real cheap.
And then Ed.
And then Ed, which is the tall guy that actually does all the work.
Tall. He's about 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
He's tall. Big. He's a big guy. He quit.
Yeah. He's got his own YouTube channel now.
I've been following him.
Yeah. He's not. But it's. You can go back and watch Wheeler Dealers. They have some really good off-the-wall, like old Peugeots and stuff that I've seen, you know, in my travels that you don't see here. Like the French.
Renault.
A what?
Renault?
They've done those as well, but I'll remember the name of them in a minute probably and just blurt it out.
Citroën.
But they've done like every model from the 60s.
Right.
Love the Citroën. They were way ahead of their time. Except for the fact that the brakes, the power steering, and the suspension, fluid suspension, was all tied together. That's insane.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Somehow it's like a...
You could change the tire on the side of the road without a jack.
Yeah, it's hydraulically... all tied in. Yeah. I've seen that. That was a neat car.
That was
really neat. I'm going to do something like that on the rat rod and try it.
See, now, Citroën made one interesting car. Well, two. They made the Duchevel, which is the 2-horsepower little tiny micro car. But they also, for 3 years, made the CM, the Citroën Maserati, which was... half Maserati, half Citroën. And that was a wild-ass car that had all kinds of electronics on it long before, you know, decades before anybody else. It would lower itself as you went faster.
Wow. Yeah, I think I've seen something like that.
Now, there's one made by Citroën that they call it a farm car or a farm van. It's just got two very simple... seats in it, and in the back of it, you could put whatever in there, you know, hay or farming equipment or whatever. I can't remember the name of it, but I actually saw one in Ireland at a gas station in Galway, and I was just blown away by it because I had seen it on Wheeler Dealers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're really neat looking little cars. But it's a little bitty motor. It's like a 3-cylinder.
Yep.
You know, 0.9 liters or something crazy like that.
How many liters is that? It's not even a liter.
Yeah, they cracked me up with them small liter motors.
But... hey, what are you doing? Your car broke down? No, I'm feeding the hamsters.
Yeah.
Well, my first car, a Fiat 600, had a 600cc motor in it.
What year was that?
Well, 66.
66.
Wow. I bet you wish you had it back now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Have you even seen the prices on the Yugos right now? They are going out of this world.
Really?
Because everybody didn't like them.
You couldn't give them away back in the 80s.
When they went out of business, buy one, get one free. But everybody was disposing of them because they're junk cars. But now they're collectors, and man, the prices is just outrageous.
Oh, I can imagine. They were such a basic vehicle, though.
Oh, yeah. Get in, turn it on, listen to rap.
It's like the old 80s, the Square... the Mickey Mouse Ford Escorts, you remember those?
Oh,
yep.
Yeah. Lord.
Yeah. I had a friend, still do. He's a big fella, and he looked literally like a monkey driving that old Ford Escort.
Yep. I drove a Yugo at 80 miles an hour once.
Oh, a death wish.
Yep. But it actually went that fast.
Wow. That's like the old... What was the Ford Pintos?
Or the Gremlins.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Gremlins are worth some money now. They're,
oh, yeah.
They're
Silver Pinto.
Yeah. Pinto. Yeah, they are. There's one sitting up here at the Balo up here, and I think they wanted $4,000 for the Pinto, but, I mean, it looked really nice. It was really
good. Right.
All original paint. It's really
wow. Nice. See, and all my friends had Pintos and Chevy Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love the Vegas now. I love the Vegas. I mean, that is a, from the factory, those cars are,
they look good.
They had an aluminum motor.
Yeah. My dad had one with the 327 in it and the 5-speed.
Yep.
And that thing would absolutely scream.
Yep.
I remember that thing.
Yeah.
I remember it in the shop.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like a, you know, piece of junk. But,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it had a nice paint job, but it looked like a Vega. You know, what are you going to do, 50 miles an hour? No. Drive about 140.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
my little white Volkswagen is a 60 model, and I had the motor built and all that, and transmission and special ordered and all that, and it had a cam in it, so it loped, and I had Fox Body Mustangs come up beside me and race their engine, laugh at me, and I point to the light. Well, when that light turned green, that front end of that bug would come off the ground, and their face would go like, oh, I got to grab some gears now.
Yep. Yep, but a friend of mine had a Pontiac Astra, which was a Chevy Vega made by Pontiac.
Okay.
But those things came with four-banger aluminum block engines, and you got like 50,000 miles on them, and they started leaking more oil than you could pour in.
Yeah. I was reading the other day, I've been using the diesel oil in my Volkswagen.
Rotella.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Rotella, yeah.
Type 3, it's got the, it's one of the only oils that still has, or, you know, that you can find locally.
Mm-hmm.
It still has the zinc additive still in it.
Okay, okay.
But I was looking around the Samba, which, you know the Samba, the big Volkswagen website. And there was a guy on there, he must have been a newbie to Volkswagens. He had put 1540 synthetic in Volkswagen, and he's like, oh, come out, and there was like a liter of oil all over the ground. I'm like, yeah, you put synthetic in an air-cooled motor, you dummy.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody ripped them. And you want to talk about hardcore now, you go on the Samba and you know, say something stupid like that? Or you
on the forums?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, on the forums, definitely, they're hardcore.
Those guys will rip you to shreds. When I first started, we're getting a little rattle there. Those guys, a lot of them helped me, but you had to really ignore the other assholes. That's a stupid question. Go read a book, you know.
Yeah, I was a member of the what the hell is it called? The Air Cooled Rescue Squad. I had my name, address, and phone number on the Samba for years. If anybody broke down in this area, I was willing to help.
We're getting a lot of cracking and popping and hissing. I don't know. It may be Scott.
Okay.
It's like, you know, a major windstorm is coming through. It's dying down a little bit.
Yeah, you were fading in and out a little bit.
Yeah, it might be Scott.
It may be Scott.
That time of day. Everybody's on the internet.
Yeah,
yep.
Could be.
Man. Well, we'll deal with it.
Yeah, we'll deal with it. I'll do my best to cut it out. Actually, I was going to tell you guys, I actually went on iTunes. You can go on there. And we have reviews on there. And I didn't even realize or think about having a review on iTunes, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are 5 stars.
Wow.
But they're from 2008, 2009.
Okay.
And one of them is like 1 star. So he was a total asshole. He's like, well, they didn't tell me anything informative. It's rated under comedy.
Well,
right.
If they don't like it, it's like they make a remote. You can turn the damn channel. You don't have to sit there and listen to our podcast if you don't like us. Fuck them.
But one of the guys had said the sound quality was bad. And I think it was back when we had everybody, including you know, the woman from down under. I won't mention her name.
Okay.
So, yeah, we did have some audio problems. And it's like last time, or last show we did, episode 2, Dr. Don was extremely quiet, and like whispering into the mic.
I had my days.
But if I can turn that up and boost the volume, but the only problem is you get a lot of hiss with that, and then it's really hard to cut that out. So.
Well, I'll get right up on the mic then.
I'm definitely working on it to make it better, so just bear with us. But okay. I checked today. We have 28 subscribers. Thank you very
much.
Wow. I was surprised to see that, so thank you. And we've had a grand total. I gave you and Granddad login capability, so you can go in there and look at it if you want to. But 65 downloads on the podcast.
Wow.
Oh, cool. Wow.
It tells me the amount of downloads and where they if they download them from the web or from iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
So far, iTunes is only about 15% of the total. But once we get, you know, some more people and more subscribers, it'll start showing up easier.
Right.
On the, you know, in their algorithm. So we'll get there. Once we get to 100, it'll fly. I think when we ended it before, we had 300.
Really?
Yeah. There's no way for me to go back and look at that because it's mm-hmm. It's been a long time. But
right.
And that was with Kilos of Crack, of course. We probably have more than that with the old podcast.
Right.
Or we might have had less. I don't really remember. But
we need to do one on Sunday because that's the only time I seem to feel like drinking and let me get really drunk and get up here. And
we can try Sunday. That might be better for everyone.
I know Fridays usually my busiest days, but
yeah. I just figured, you know, Fridays. We first thought of Saturday mornings. You still there with us, Brian?
I am. Fading.
Okay. Well, the popping and cracking stopped for a moment. We're not wiggling any cables here, so I don't know what was causing that.
It's our cable internet, man.
Huh?
It's our cable internet system.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. So the mic seems to be working. I don't know what's causing that.
Okay.
No idea, but you are coming in better. So anyway, what you guys been reading? Interesting books?
Yes. Speaking of books, I just started reading Lisa McInerney's new book. You might know her better as Sweary Lady.
Oh, really? She's got a book out now?
She's got two books out.
Two books?
Yeah, she did a book about 2 years ago called The Glorious Heresies, and it won all kinds of awards, and she became a big famous writer overnight. And her second book, The Blood Miracles, is that what it's called? Yeah, The Blood Miracles by Lisa McInerney just came out about a month ago.
I'll have to check that out. Is it on Amazon?
It is.
Okay, cool.
It's a softback. When it first came out in the UK and Ireland, it also showed up on Amazon here, but it's through Amazon UK.
Okay. I'll have to check that out. I've been reading the works of Ayn Rand, a very important figure in today's world, a deceased figure, but a very important person for libertarian values.
Absolutely.
I think everyone should read Ayn Rand. Brilliant woman.
Vilified.
Exactly. She said what she believed in, and she paid for it, but she was right, you know, majority of the time.
Well, exactly. you're only right when you're dead. I mean, that's the way it works. I mean, nobody's famous until they're dead.
I don't know. There's a couple of dead people who aren't famous.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah. I told my cousin, she bought a frame print from me about 2 or 3 months ago. I said, and I sold it to her cheap. I told her it was the last one. I sold that particular. It was a picture of a photograph of Inch Beach in Kerry, Ireland.
Okay.
And I sold the rights to it to a magazine. I use a stock photo site, so they don't exactly tell me. Usually, all these magazines have an agency that they deal with.
Right.
They go out and find the images for them, so you don't always find out. Sometimes, like when I work with Southern Living Magazine, they're out of New York, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
I found that out when I was, because my grandmother loved that magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy and proud to work with them. We ended up not being able to make a deal. I don't know if they didn't like my name or what the deal was, but when I found out that they were through New York, I didn't ever, bother looking that up.
Right.
The publishing company, that I just died laughing. I said, that's the ultimate irony.
Yep.
I sold all the rights to that image of Inch Beach so I can never print it again, legally.
Right.
But this one print, I valued it around $150 because it's a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
I never print it again.
Yep.
But I said, oh, don't worry, because I sold it to her for a lot less than that. I said, don't worry. I said, when I kick the bucket, it'll be $500, $600, $700 or,
right.
Or whatever, $1,000 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only going to go up in value.
Yep. Speaking of your photography, I never bought the third book of Hibernia.
Oh, the North, the Belfast book and the Northern Ireland book?
I have two of them.
There's Dublin.
Right.
The first one. And the Wild West. That was the second one, and then the North.
Okay, then it's the North I don't have.
Okay. That's probably my favorite. That's the one I worked on the hardest, I guess. I mean, I worked on all of them pretty hard.
You have copies that in the future I'll be able to buy one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And I'll see if I can get us a discount on one.
Okay.
They do discounts a lot, sometimes 25% off, 50% off. If I buy it straight through them instead of... It's on Amazon. You can find it on Amazon.
Oh, it's still for sale.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I thought it was out of print.
No, it's still for sale. I don't sell that many. I really feel kind of bad about it because I told Kate and I told everyone in a minute that at the end of the sales for that year, I would donate 20% to Irish charities. And I had a couple in mind, and I had talked to her, and I talked to her. And I asked her some good charities, and she didn't want to give me any direct ones, but I had a few in mind. But I made a total of like $45 profit first year. So it wasn't like it was a lot of money.
Right.
You know.
And so you donated to the NRA?
That's what I should have done. It's still sitting in my PayPal account. I've not done anything with it.
Oh.
And if I can get more sales on these books or anything from Ireland, I'll donate 20%, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to make some money off of this stuff.
Okay.
And I have it. You know, I mean, I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that I feel bad that I wasn't able to do what I say.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't have the... Because when you put stuff on Amazon... Okay, the book company, the publisher, they get 65% of the profits. And then Amazon gets 20%.
Yep.
Just for listing the freaking thing. They don't print it. They don't do anything. They just list
it. Man. We need to become a publisher.
So what's left, most books is around $5 or $6. I mean, they're already expensive. So I didn't want to charge. I could have charged $100 and made some money.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, that's not right. So
yep.
There's only about a 10% markup on the up from what the actual cost is. So if I sold them straight to the publisher, then I would save 20% that Amazon does. But who knows if they're going to sell or not. So plus, I like telling people, well, I got 5 books on Amazon.
There you go.
I don't say that very often, but if somebody's...
Yeah.
You know, if they're boasting about, well, I've got a book on Amazon. I'm like, well, I got 5.
There you go.
But anyway, yeah, I'll be glad to do that. I received some prints the other day. I ordered through MPix Pro, which I've used them a lot in the past, but it was always through the website I had that is now pretty much dead. I haven't paid for, and I've told them that I couldn't pay, but it's still... it's still live, so I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know if they think I'm going to change my mind or what, but they don't have an updated credit card, so they can't charge me any money. I don't know what they're thinking.
Right.
But it's $200 a year. I think I've said that before, and I just didn't see with the amount of work I've done in the past year and a half, it just wasn't financially viable.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm working, actually, Granddad helped me find... or told me about a plug-in where I could do credit cards and PayPal and everything. It's called WooCommerce.
Okay.
But it takes a long time because one thing is self-fulfilled. So if somebody orders an art print or whatever, let's say 12 by 18, I have to ship it out. I have to, you know, physically do it myself, which is not a problem. When all that stuff was handled before by the company that I was dealing with. So.
Right.
And plus, the way this thing, it's not designed for photographers, so I have to list every size separately, so it's a lot of going in.
Yeah.
And every item has to have an item number, and
ooh, yeah.
It's like setting up a regular store. So
what?
There's a lot of time involved in it. I'm working on it, though. I'm getting it there. But that's when I'm going to transfer the actual name, Distill Prints, over to there, so.
Okay.
Right now, it's just photo.jeffersondavis.us. That's
right.
I'll eventually forward the domain name over. But anyway, I've been working a lot with the website and just working. I caused some undue drama yesterday. I basically, and I sent an email, like I told you I would, to Granddad. Ireland read it, and I basically apologized. I said, well, I was being selfish with this post and being a complete idiot. Don't tell you, I was in a really bad mood Wednesday. really bad mood.
Yeah, I noticed it was. I tell you, it was hot. Or been out of shape.
Yeah, I was really ticked off. Everybody has a bad day.
Oh, yeah.
But
exactly.
I shouldn't have posted what I did because the last thing I would ever want to do is, one thing, worry somebody because, two, was call somebody that themselves is having a bad day to have a worse day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to be a little bit funny and quirky in what I put on the post, except for the Ramadan Bombathon or Ramadan Terathon. I'm going to update that tonight, by the way. There's been about 100 more killings since
last week. Exactly.
And the reason I did that was, and I said that in our pre-podcast monologue last week, was not to be mean to Muslims, not to pick on Muslims, not to be an a-hole to Muslims, not to start any junk. I did that, and will continue to have it there, because that's their holy month when they're not supposed to do anything, even though Muhammad himself went to battle, and it's written, it says that he went to battle during Ramadan, but the Quran clearly says, don't to do this, this, and this, and it tells you what not to do, and it's supposed to be a holy month, and what are they doing during holy month? They're killing people, so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just pointing out a very honest irony. I'm not, you know, it's not one-sided.
It's there.
It's there. It's all validated. I validated every single kill on the list. So,
well, you know, they keep doing this, and they keep doing this stuff, and they keep doing this stuff, and it's like a bully. You know, you tell them to quit, you tell them to ask them to stop, and you stop. Then you ask other people to help out, and they keep on doing it. Well, the only way to fix it is to take the bully out. And they're going to piss all the nations off, enough nations, that we're going to get together and we'll take them out. And I don't want no innocent people to get killed like women and children, but they're the ones that are, the women are producing the children, and they're growing
up. Women are radicalizing the young men, so, absolutely.
But this is like wartime. So in war, you take the enemy out. If they keep picking on you, you got to stop it. And they're going to piss off enough nations that we're going to get together and go, look, we've had enough of this crap. Let's do something about it.
I think that was the main point behind Trump's visit to Saudi Arabia. I think he basically went in there off mic and basically said, you fix this crap.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to fix it.
All right. I mean, so, if you can't control your own people in your country, then, you know, if it's hurting millions of people, we're going to have to put a stop to it somehow. And if your innocent bystanders get hurt, well, I mean, that's war. It's casualties of war. So
yep.
That's what my take is. We're going to have enough of it, and we're going to have to just do something about it.
Right.
Like I said, you know, even if it's like America, if you come in and kill, or not even in America, you kill one U.S. person, that's one city leveled dust to the ground. Totally wipe that city out.
I said after Manchester that Western people, and especially Western white people, natives to, well, at least Western Europe, and most of Europe, but especially Western Europe, we're squishy. you can poke and you can prod and you can do that for a long time, but eventually there's going to be an end to it, and it's not going to be pretty. And I said in the Manchester Post that I don't want that to happen, because a lot of people are going to die if we ever get pushed that far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's like the southern way. We laid back. You keep poking at us, we're going to open a can of whoop ass on you. And we're going to whoop your ass.
I actually had a can of whoop ass.
I seen that in the store one day.
Did you?
Down the floor. Oh, yes. Oh, I think it was in Spencer's, probably.
Okay. I was in a convenience store, a corner store, probably 10 years ago. And I said, I've got to get that. And I had that sitting unopened on my in my office on my bookcase for years. And then I had my stuff in storage over a winter, and it froze and exploded.
Oh, man.
I was pissed because I had a can of whoop ass, and I could open it any time I wanted to.
Well, like I said, I'm too cold. I'm busting out of this place. I'm going to get a can of whoop ass.
Yeah.
When I first started going to college, I had a professor that was from New York, and we were talking about, it was like 2004, I think, and we were talking about, it wasn't long after we went into Iraq, or we were going, anyway, I said, I'd open up a can of whoop-ass on them people or something, and he said, what? I said, open up a can of whoop ass. I mean, I wouldn't be caught saying that now. You know, yeah. I don't say that, but
up in the north, y'all probably said, open a can of worms.
No,
I don't, America.
I don't think whoop ass is a southern term.
I don't think so either.
I was like, balls to the wall. It goes back to steam engines.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. It's also a reference to fighter jets. There was a ball on top of the stick. And when you wanted to go fast, you put the ball to the wall.
That makes sense.
Man, I was so... My dad told me, he called me one day, he said, did you hear the news, son? And I said, oh, it's got to be bad. He called me son like that, that reference like that.
Yeah.
And I said, no, what? He said, they're trying to retire the A-10s. And I said, oh, no, they're not. And he said, yeah, they're going to try to decommission them bad boys. I mean, why would you take a jet out of commission when they didn't even have to fire the weapons? My dad said, literally, when they were on the ground, when they heard them A-10s coming, they would be scrambling. The enemy, it don't matter who you are. If you're an enemy, you hear them planes coming, you running.
Yep. The local National Guard base here would fly T-10. Technically, they're T-5 Talon, which are the A-10 train up and down the valley. I used to love it.
Oh, I love the A-10. There is no other sound. It's like a Mustang 5.0. You know, it's a distinctive sound. You can hear it coming. I mean, I can be sitting in the backyard, and my wife and their kids be over and everything, and I go, listen. Oh, that's an A-10 coming. They go, Dad, we don't even hear anything. They're coming. I know they're coming. And about 2-3 minutes later, boy, they become flying over. Like, oh, yeah.
They make a very distinctive sound.
Oh, yeah, that Mercedes engine.
When I was up in D.C. back in, February?
Okay.
I saw the president fly over. Well, it was the... three choppers, Marine One. Don't know which one he was in, but I heard them before I saw them flying over. But they literally flew right over the convention center.
Wow!
I happened to be outside walking around. That was pretty cool because you see it on TV.
Yeah.
But I never had seen them fly over like that. So there was some crazy stuff when I was up there.
Were up for what? CPAC?
CPAC, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that must have been fun.
It was. I thought I might come back next year, but I said, what I'd like to do, but what I'd like to do is come up about a week before, help you set up, get everything going. That way I'm fully informed in what's going on. It could have been run better. It could have been more streamlined I mean, it was good, and everybody had a great time, and all the presenters were happy, and everybody was happy, but it could have been done better. Which, standing from my point of view, I mean, I was in the middle of it, but I was not there for the pre-planning and all that. And I think if they brought us, not all the volunteers, but the people that would be working backstage and all that, that if they brought us in a week ahead of time and we were able to practice everything we were supposed to do and they were able to practice everything, yeah, and have people, you know, staged in to be an actor or actress or whoever's presenting or the president or whoever,
yeah,
then it would have been more
better,
you know,
prepared, yeah.
Yeah.
More smooth.
Okay.
I can't really, you know, give you much on that because they hear this, they'll be like, we're not bringing him back. But I mean, it was good.
That's when you send him an email. He's like, I will be there.
Yeah. Country boy will survive. I had a lot of people, you know, it was funny though, giving me a hard time about my name because there it was in bold.
Right. Exactly.
Big letters. Yeah, there was some crazy stuff going on. But I told one of them guys, I said, it's sad. But I said, the good thing about the younger generation is they have no freaking clue who he was. They have no freaking clue about any of that. They just think I have a cool formal name.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, if I'm sitting at the doctor's office and there happens to be, you know, some black people in there, and there usually is, and, you know, I talk to everybody. I don't care who you are, what skin color you are. And we're talking and being friendly, and then they say over the loudspeaker, Jefferson Davis, I get the evilest go-to-hell looks you have ever seen. So
I would look over and say, you've just been interrogated. Thank you.
People mumble under their breath. I don't know what the hell they say, but, yeah.
Old white man, he just don't know what his name is.
Oh, God. Oh. I'm just glad my name's not Hitler, that's all.
Yeah, exactly.
If it was that, I would definitely change it. I would have changed it a long time ago.
Yeah, what? on the original Keelers of Crack with Granddad and the lady who shall not be mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And all that, I remember jokingly saying that I was going to change my name to Adolf Pol Pot.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah. What was his original name? Hitler Schittlergruber or something like that?
Schickelgruber.
Schickelgruber, yeah. Yeah.
That was actually his mother's maiden.
Well, they've done a lot of, I love to watch documentaries about the European theater in World War II. I mean, I love watching. The Pacific was incredibly important, of course. But when I meet, you know, World War II veterans that fought in European theater, I mean, they're all well respected, but I want to know, it's incredibly interesting to me that time and.
Right.
That's like John F. Kennedy. Many people don't know that he was there right before everything went down. He spent months going all over Europe, finding out information,
mm-hmm,
finding out, you know, what was going to happen. He talked to, I forget where I read that, but he talked to literally thousands of people before World War II ever happened, before he ever joined the Navy.
Yep.
So he was there. I would have loved to have been there before. I would love to have been there to see, you know, see Hitler go down. But,
yeah,
that would have been cool. We've had a lot of wars, and they're all terrible. I guess that one interests me more than any of the rest. I don't know why. It just does, I guess.
Okay.
Interesting stuff back then.
That was my parents' generation.
Father, he fought in the European or Pacific theater?
In Germany.
In Germany? Wow.
My
dad, he has some stories.
My dad graduated from medical school in 1944. And my mom from nursing school in 44. And she became a Navy nurse, and he was already in the Army, and so he was commissioned as a doctor. And they were sent, when we very first went into Germany, he went to a general hospital in Germany.
Wow.
So he was there for the end of the war and the occupation for it, because my parents were in Germany until 1950.
Wow. Yeah, I bet he had a lot of stories.
Yep.
A lot of people won't talk about that stuff for, you know, obvious reasons. But I bet he had a lot to say about it. You know, if he did talk.
My ex-wife's dad was in the Vietnam War, and he never talked about it to nobody. And every once in a while, when he drank, he talked to me some about it.
Mm-hmm.
And man, some of them, it's like, oh man, that's messed up.
Yep. Okay, guys, I think we've had a good night.
Yeah.
It's 8 o'clock. I'm going to call it a night.
All right. Well, it was great to hear from you, both of you. Thank you, Brian F. and Dr. Dawn.
All right.
See you next week.
All right, buddy.
See you.
Jefferson Davis signing off.